I'm Katie Clark, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Journalist Anna Bodkin recently came back from Iraq. While there, she witnessed all the chaos and destruction of a country at war. She also visited a shelter for abused women in Baghdad. The shelter is part of a secret network known as the Underground Railroad. It serves women who are victims of sexual violence and domestic abuse. In Iraqi society, abused women are often shunned by their own families or worse. The shelters also protect the women from the threat of so-called honor killings. Anna Bodkin writes about all this in Baghdad Underground, an article in the August issue of Ms. Magazine. She and a photojournalist were allowed to visit one of the shelters.
We covered up. We were wearing our black abaya cloaks. We were wearing our scarves. We were put in a car, got out of the car in this really back alley with an auto repair shop and some candy stalls. I mean, it's like a typical decrepit Baghdad neighborhood, and up two flights of stairs and through an unmarked plywood door, and there's this shelter with, you know, rats and a lot of women, some of them with children. I think there were six adult women and maybe four children.
Tell us a little bit about Samira, one of the women that you met.
She was a young woman. She had just married her sweetheart. He was a police officer, and she was pregnant with her first child in Baquba, the capital of Diyala province, which was so dangerous in 2006 because of the violence between Sunni and Shia militias that local residents had dubbed it the city of death. In the span of a month, gunmen had killed all of the men in her family, all three of her brothers, and her husband. And all of a sudden, this young woman finds herself alone without the traditional protection of a man and also without a job. She miscarried after her husband was killed. She said that she was grieving, and as is the custom, she beat herself during grieving, and so she thinks that that caused the miscarriage, or maybe it was the stress. And she found herself homeless. She was a Sunni woman, found herself in a house of fairly wealthy Shia family in Baghdad, which took her in exchange for cooking and cleaning the house. But also, whenever the woman of the house was out of the house, the husband and the woman's brother would rape her. Mm-hmm. And so Samira endured 3 months of rape until one day the husband, the brother, and there was another brother, all three of them gang raped her.
And when was this?
And that was several months prior to my interview with her. So that was in 2008. Uh-huh. And she ran away from the family, and she went to a mosque, and she heard about this underground railroad at a mosque.
And how many of these shelters are there? We're describing it as a network around the city.
The number varies. Mm-hmm. So between four and six, from what I understand. And I think most of them were, I think there were four in Baghdad and one someplace else. But again, that's not a number set in stone. And they will close shelters if they don't have enough money. And they will open new shelters if they find themselves flush with money.
Where are they getting the money?
It's all grants, international grants. Nothing comes from the U.S. government, I must say. But a lot of it comes from MADRE, the International Women's Organization that's based in New York.
Have they asked the U.S. government for it? I mean, is that an important distinction?
Well, definitely. The woman who runs the shelters, Yanar Mohammed, she's an Iraqi-Canadian. And she definitely holds the Americans responsible for this. I mean, had there not been a war, there wouldn't be this dire situation with 72 at least thousand widows and who knows how many orphaned young women who are left without protection of their males and therefore become a free-for-all. Every war comes with rape. But the women who are raped usually are the more unprotected women.
Is there any kind of record prior to the U.S. invasion in 2003 with regard to, you know, violence against women?
I'm sure there was violence against women, like in any country. And I'm sure there was rape, like in any country. But also, from what I understand, the proportions were comparable to what happens in any other country. Mm-hmm. Probably there would be more domestic violence, but probably less, you know, a woman walking home and gets raped by somebody in the street because it's a different culture.
What do these shelters that you visited do for the women? Is it a temporary stopping place for them? How long can they stay?
Some stay a couple of weeks. Some stay months. They obviously want them to not stay there forever. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to not just provide them with a safe place to be, but also to teach them something. Because you have to remember that these women are there because they're alone, because they have no men to support them. So they need to be able to get out of this system and be able to function on their own. So they're trying to teach them basic skills like computer literacy or statistics, something that they could use so that they could become a secretary or a teacher or even some of them are so young. You know, there was one woman, she's 16 years old. She was forcibly married when she was 12. Mm. So she had 4.5 years of school. That's all. So she has no future in any country unless she marries somebody. So she, you know, she's going to go back to school. So that's what the organization tries to teach them something. You know, sometimes it helps them get jobs after they're out, after they feel like they can live on their own. Sometimes they work at the organization after they're out of this network, out of this railroad. They get out of the train and they sort of stay in the station. They don't venture very far.
I would imagine all of the problems the Iraqis are facing, this is something that could maybe just get shoved aside, other priorities. I'm curious about the kids that were in the shelter with their mothers. How did they seem?
The shelter had three rooms, two bedrooms, one very small, one moderately small, and then the third one was a living room where I think two or three sets of women slept. And one of the children at the shelter was a 14-year-old girl whose mother had been accused, falsely accused, of killing her husband, spent 2.5 years in jail, during which she was repeatedly raped by her investigators and jailers, during which time, the 14-year-old, she was living with her grandparents, her mother's parents, who decided that they need to marry her off. So they tried to marry her off to a much older man, a man she didn't know, a man she obviously couldn't have loved, a very young girl. And when her mother returned, having been acquitted, the adult woman's parents basically said, "No, you're not our daughter. We don't believe that you didn't kill your husband, and get out." And so the woman took her daughter. She had another daughter, a much younger daughter. I think that the other girl was maybe 6 or 7 or 5 years old. And so this woman and her two daughters were at the shelter.
I'm curious if what you saw there was better or worse than you were expecting.
Oof. The conditions were horrendous. You know, they have rats. Every night the rats come out. The rats were in our bed when we slept. We stayed, spent a night at shelter, and the rats were in our bed. They have a shower that's basically a hose. You know, they have one burner or two burner stove. Instead of glass, they have plywood and cardboard in the windows. You know, they have to constantly be very quiet because they can't let the neighbors know that there are, you know, women being sheltered there. But at the same time, there was this moment when there was this, they had a TV on, and the TV was blaring Arabic pop music, and these women all of a sudden started dancing, and they were laughing, and there's even a photograph in the magazine of them dancing, of these two young women dancing, and they were all dancing, and they were all laughing, and ululating, and whistling, and talking to each other, and you're thinking, how little does a person need to just feel happy for even a moment? So that was heartwarming because you could tell that not everything has been lost for them.
Journalist Anna Bodkin is just back from Baghdad. Her story about the Underground Railroad there appears in the summer issue of Ms. Magazine in August. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you.